Running. Okay, so I assume now that we are recording. I am going for you, since I saw that some of you have been solving the first exercise here, some other have been dealing with the other kind of exercises. So let's start first with this here. And the first exercise is what we call control obsolescence. Obsolescence means something degrading, becoming worse. The exercise says, assume that the organization has developed an adequate set of controls to deal with security risk. Perhaps, see, I make it a little bit difficult for you because you think what is meant by a set of controls. Well, what is meant here is there are many risks that an organization has to deal with, and therefore you need several controls. But the point is to simplify and think that these controls, actually what they do is actually they provide you security, which can be very high or very low. And actually that's the kind of thing that we should concentrate upon, that you have to measure what the controls do, and you can measure that by some level of security. So then here I notice that some of you consider to be two issues involved: the controls and the security risk. But the security risk is just telling you what the controls do. The only variable we need is the controls. Then it says, point two, the organization neglects to monitor, review, and improve the controls, implying that the controls gradually become obsolete. So the way to understand this is, if you measure the controls by their efficiency in terms of security, obsolescence means that the efficiency decays. One thing that you could have, that you should do actually, even if it's not required, what is the story that I am telling you? Well, the story in this exercise one on controls, control obsolescence. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Okay, I am going to sacrifice this and come back to that later. So, one way of figuring out what is meant is try to sketch the behavior. So here we have the control. And we measured by security, control, efficiency, or something like this. And that can be high, which means we have a high security, or low, which is low security. We are not so concerned about exact answers, but an idea. So basically what I am saying is that originally you have a high control efficiency, then it decays and decays and decays and decays because this is not maintained. So the problem is about relating what happens to control efficiency. And how does this happen? Well, put controls here and assume this is measured by the efficiency from high to low. And what is happening over time is that they are decaying and becoming worse. And this is the obsolescence. So in principle, that was the only thing that I was asking you to do. Then it was asking you also the suitable simulation time interval. Well, okay, if you have an organization and they have no high security, and then over time don't contain them, then probably after some years, 3-4 years, they have no security at all. So a few years and so. You can go a step beyond, and the answer that you will see here, this is the analysis, the reasoning that I told you. This will be published later. And here you have a slightly more advanced version of this, where we have the controls, the decay, the obsolescence, and we assume that there will be a relation in this way, because obviously the decay of the control relates something to the value that the controls have. And then this is going to take some time, which we could describe like this. So this is a slightly more detailed thing. But if I had given you this exercise for an exam and so on, and you came up with this, it's okay. And that is much, much simpler than you have tried to figure out, and that's because you still need to some maturity as to read the description and see how you conceptualize that. Okay? So then you could try to do the other things, and I promise you they are not so difficult. Two is simple, three becomes a bit more complicated, but still not so complicated. Okay, so that was the one. The other one was this one. And the reference mode. Now I have to put something different things. Now we are in privacy. Privacy, okay, I could have left this high and low here as well. Now we are about privacy. A reference mode is what's actually sketched, it's a curve. And the reason why we are interested in that is because they describe our problem in terms of the behavior of some critical variables. So what I am asking you in this exercise is to sketch such possible behaviors. And they are not accurate answers then, here. What I try to exercise here is first the awareness that we need these kind of graphs so as to specify what the problem are, the problem symptoms are. And in addition, when we create a simulation model, it should be able to give us these kind of curves here. Okay, but now as to the privacy. What says the exercise? The exercise says, much of the information is stored on computer networks. Lack of knowledge of internet privacy has led to many security incidents and so on. And it's telling a story in a sense that it seems like if people are becoming less aware of privacy. This can happen because perhaps people buy computers and whatever, and first they are perhaps a little bit anxious that things happen, and therefore they have a high concern about privacy awareness. It's actually privacy awareness what we are depicting here. So in the beginning, they have a high awareness. And then they seemingly, nothing happens. They feel safe. So the awareness decreases over time, perhaps so. And perhaps at some time they read in the newspapers that there are issues with privacy, so the awareness increases again, and perhaps they forget again, and it goes down, whatever. My point is, when you draw this, is that you tell me your reasoning. As I said, for instance, originally high privacy awareness, but then people don't hear, don't notice something, so they become less aware, then they read in the newspaper that increases, then they forget and whatever. So that could be a possibility. And then the other issue that is here is the rate of storing personal information, okay? And by this is meant, suppose you have Facebook or whatever, to begin with, if you have privacy awareness, then this is low. This is low. And then as your awareness decreases, typically you will store more until you notice that there's a problem, and probably you go down again and something like this. They are obviously related in some way. Probably there are some time delays so that they are not exactly matched and so on. But again, what I want you is to exercise these concepts and do that with something in mind, that you have a reason for that, okay? So that were basically the things that I ask you to do. Questions? No, this you can draw by hand, or you can draw with a drawing tool, and so the referencing. Yes, actually, Vensim has a way of adding the reference behavior, but I don't know if this version can. Let me see.
Reference mode.
Reference mode. Yes, yeah. You can use that. But if you look now at the Vensim manual, and you go to the modeling guide, and you look to some of these exercises here. So there you see reference modes. Here, a reference mode is a graphical statement about a problem, it says. Verbally, the problem was stated as the production is less stable than sales. Graphically, we might draw, and so on. Then you have these things. So that's the kind of thing that that I wanted you to do. And if you read here these chapters in the modeling guide, then you understand. So it says this reference mode is a sketch of behavior we might expect the model to produce. Okay, it might be real data from our records or your expectation of what might happen in a new situation. So if you don't have real data, use the best case you have, your expectation. Understand. Sometimes when we do this model for companies, we ask the experts about what they have observed. They tend to have quite accurate information. So when we have the project for Mnemonic, where we were studying for them, modeling for them incident response systems, then we ask about issues like how did the number of incidents detected, reported, go over time. How was the awareness in, say, in the management, how much was spent and so on. And they didn't have real data, but they produced qualitative data, and they agreed. They had 5 or 6 people from the money, so they seem to have the same mental model. So if you are talking to people who are experts, because they work with these things, they have tend to have kind of quite pretty accurate ideas. Okay, so just to finish, I will spend the last minutes in reviewing other things that we haven't done. I depend on your reading in the slides here. The last thing we did is go through the simulation algorithm. Then it explains that the time step, being the interval in the calculation, has to do with accuracy. Here you see what would happen if we had a model and we made the time step 20 years, then you get this, very inaccurate. You made the step 10 years, then you get curve 2. Made the step 5 years, curve 3. And you see as the steps are becoming smaller and smaller, the results become closer and closer. And visual accuracy means going as far as needed until you don't see any more change visually. Okay? What else? Yes, then it says you have seen in Vensim that there is in the entry in the window beneath the time step the Euler method. That's the algorithm that Vensim normally uses to compute the results. And actually it is the same thing that we had in some slides before with a very simple model. So Vensim sets the time equal to the start time. It calculates the levels for the initial values. Then it computes all the auxiliaries. It computes all the flows. It adds them, if they are positive, to the levels. It deducts them, subtracts if they are negative. And then it increases the time. Computes the values of the level. The new value of the level is the old value plus the net flow. And then it goes back to here and continues and continues and continues, every time increasing the time and going through the whole interval until it finishes the calculation. So that's basically what it does. The Euler's method is a very simple one. Euler was a Swiss mathematician. He lived, I don't know how many centuries ago, and he proposed this as a way of doing numerical integration. normally this is a good method, but sometimes we need to use a different method. When it comes to use to a good time step, then you see here what is the difference. Short time step, you are approximating this curve by these columns. If you have a big time step, then you are doing few computations and you have big errors between this column height and the real curve. But there are some rules. Typically, your models have some time constants. So you should start with a time step that is at least half the smallest time constant. If you choose a higher time step, that's going to be wrong. The time constant influences what the system does. Then if you see that the model has jacks, so sudden changes in the curves, especially if it oscillates, that indicates that the time step is too big. And then you use the half again rule. The half again rule is run the model, drop the time step by half, run again, look for a pattern of behavior to remain constant visually. So that's basically the rule. And remember to do that, because that's one of the things that I pay attention to. It has to do with accuracy. Okay, then here it shows you what I told you as to the values here. Okay. Here you have an example of bad time step. You have here time constant, time to adjust is 0.25, and the time step has chosen bigger than that, and then look at what is happening. It should actually oscillate neatly. Here you have the same example with a good time step, much smaller than the time to adjust, and you see the actual behavior is this, very different from that. Then, and this is for advanced. You can have models where the Runge-Kutta, the Euler method is not good. Then there are advanced methods to do the computation. Vensim lets you choose Runge-Kutta models, Runge-Kutta methods. But this is kind more of advanced. For the time being, you can forget about that. I don't think you will ever in our class meet a situation where you need Runge-Kutta method. Runge-Kutta method is a more advanced method of numerical mathematics to integrate equations. Then here is something, the relation between Vensing and mathematics. You can jump over this. 11, you can just read. What we didn't do today, and perhaps we can cover that briefly, is about time steps. We will use that many times in the future models, and then I will come back to these slides as well. So what I would like you to do is to read the slides so that you get an idea, and then when we come to use that in models, I will come back to the slides and create the models for you. When we have complex systems, and complex systems we have everywhere, especially in organizations, in security, there are always some time delays. And these time delays, they are very important for what happens. If you neglect them, then you get quite wrong results. So, in order to allow you to model these things, Vensim has a number of functions that model different kinds of time delays. And basically, what they do is the following. Some variable is an input. Some variable is the delayed output. Something happens within the input and output. Example, information comes in. The information is perceived and used. That takes time because the information needs to be assessed and so on. So the input is the incoming information. The output is the perceived information, what the people do with the information. We put an arrow because in the input influences the output. We put these marks because that's a delayed effect. Typically, the output depends also on some initial value. Sometimes the initial value is given. Okay? So, there are different kinds of time delays. And this slide gives you an overview of the three more important time delays. If it has to do with perceiving information, So making sense of what is happening. Then, as I will explain later, the function that models this in VenSim is a first order delay. But some people prefer to call it a smoothing function. That is exactly the same thing. So you use either this or this, they give exactly the same result. So what it does is the input is X. T is the average time delay, and the function gives you the output. So here you see the example. Here you have a plot of time, and you are seeing the input, which is the red curve. It is actually, you don't see the red curve completely because it is masked. Actually, it starts here. It is even up to, it jumps to 10, and then it continues to 10. So that is what the input is. The reason you don't see red here is because the next curve is upon it, and you see only the green color. So if you have a first order delay, then it is equal to begin with, then it follows like this. So the input is a ladder function. The output is first constant, and then it rises and rises and rises until it achieves the level of the ladder. If the input is a pulse, like here, the pulse is constant, it jumps up, it goes down, then the first order delay, it is like this, then it goes up, and then it decays, following the number 2 here. You have then situations where the delay is some movement or materials. Then you have a function which is a third order delay function in VenSim. X is the input, T is the average delay. And the result that comes is the delay. So this ladder function or step function that you see here, where it starts with 2, jumps to 10, stays at 10, with a third order delay, that is the curve marked with 3, so it goes like this, then it trails slowly up, and then it reaches this here. So it has a different behavior than the first order delay. If the third order delay is applied to a pulse, this is the pulse, then the first order delay started here and decayed quickly. The third order delay starts much slower, this is the blue curve, and then decays here. And there is a third kind of delay, which is known the delay fix, or also pipeline delay, because it behaves like a pipeline. In a pipeline, if you push oil in a pipeline, what comes out is exactly what came in after some time, exact time. And if the inflow increases at some time, then some time later, the outflow increases. If the flow decreases, so it matches exactly. Okay? So if you have a step function and this is the input, the delayed fix is in exactly the same form, but just delayed by a given amount. Similarly, if the input is a pulse, the output is a pulse as well, just sometime afterwards. So that is, and you have functions for all these three things in VenSim. Let me show you. In VenSim, create a model for you. Okay. So, input. Output, average delay time. So the input influences the output, but we have to mark that it is a delay, and this Yeah. So that's the model. Let's call it delays. Let's model that. The input should be 2 plus, and then we have functions. We choose a function here and we choose the step function. Step. And we have to specify the height. Since this is selected here, we put 8, so that means that's going to increase by 8. And when this happens, and let's assume that happens after 30 units of time. And the units of this, we don't care, we call it dimensionless. Okay. The average delay time, let's assume that is 25. The units are months, I think, so we select months. And the output, first we put the first order delay. So the output should be delay 1, or smooth. Delay 1 of what? Of the input. And the average delay time is this. Okay, let's simulate that. Select the input, select the output, depict it. And there you have the jump here and the first order delay. Let's make it more visible. Create a graph. New graph. Delays. Select the input, select the output, make the output thicker, 3, display, okay, it looks like this. One more thing we can do, modify y max 15. 15, so that we see it clearer. Display. Okay. First thing that we see here is the time step is too big because this should jump off vertically. So we put this here. Output custom graph. Delays. And go to the model settings and choose the time stamp smaller. I guess we have to go to 1/8 so that it is visually sufficiently accurate. Simulate. And there you see it. So the input is a blue curve. You can't see that through the red one here. It jumps and stays here. This is the first order delay. Now, assume I want to make this a third order delay. Okay? Then I go here, output, first order delay was this. Now I put a third order delay. Function, delay 3. The variables, the input is this, the average time is this. And then I can put here, oops, that's not what I wanted. Control Enter. Third order delay is this one. I will explain why they are first and third order delay. Now we simulate, and then you see it's different from the previous one. Do you remember the first one? We could actually illustrate this by calling this third.